Hello and welcome to this Every Woman special on the women of Hezbollah. I'm Rula Amin, Al Jazeera correspondent in Beirut. Now, even by Lebanese standards, 2006 has been a turbulent year for this country. The war with Israel, which ended only a few months ago, left many Lebanese disillusioned and wary. There's been an upsurge in violence. Political divides are growing by the day. In the evenings, these streets are filled with thousands of protesters demanding that the government resign. And again, all eyes are on Hezbollah, the party that is leading these protests. For some, it's eliminated. For others, an exceptional example that needs to be followed. The party's ideology and military capacity gets a lot of attention. But what about its women? Every woman traveled to Lebanon to meet with the women of Hezbollah, to hear their stories through their own eyes and in their own words. We wanted to know what did they think of the war, the fighting, the loss of family members, and their hopes for the future. We started by going to the very heart of Hezbollah, the women's political wing, and we asked them about their contribution.
Women started with Hezbollah since the beginning. When Hezbollah started as a resistance against the Israeli invasion to Lebanon, they were supporting the resistant men, helping them, etc. With time, the role of the women become improved.
We are sitting here in the workshop of the association. The women that run this workshop are volunteers. They put in a lot of time and effort to make these beautiful things, which we then display at exhibitions. And any money that is raised goes to the Islamic Resistance Support Association. During the recent war, we had a program called Sponsor a Fighter, where you can outfit a soldier with everything from his backpack to his clothes, his boots, his helmet. All someone has to say is, I want to sponsor a fighter, and we'll see to the details. I would like to add that it's not just the association that contributes. There are many people who are working behind the scenes, like our sisters in the south who helped the resistance fighters.
I'm from Aita Shab. I was born in Aita, I grew up in Aita, and I still live in Aita, and I will die here. I will never leave what happens. We all support the resistance. We're part of the resistance. We support them with our blood and lives. They sacrifice themselves and their blood for us.
Women in these towns that are very near to the frontiers, they were supporters for the resistance. They lived with those men all the time of the war.
While the fighting took place in the village, in and around our homes, I sheltered two injured resistance fighters. We looked after them and they stayed with us for 13 days. We cleaned and dressed their wounds, we fed them, and gave them water to drink. We had to help them with everything. A rocket came through there. I'm not sure what kind, but probably from an Israeli tank. The second floor of the house was completely burnt. I had left my jewelry behind and it had all melted. But I didn't care. The lives of our young men are worth more.
The association hosts yearly Ramadan feasts across Lebanon. The biggest feast, or iftar, is held here in Beirut and is attended by women from different backgrounds and religions. We are also responsible for the invitations to the iftar. We organize everything here at the headquarters and hand deliver the invites. There are 7,000 for this year's event.
We're very strong and very powerful and stood behind the resistance, and they are still standing behind it. So we wanted to thank them, and we made yesterday this iftar. We didn't put envelopes on the tables in front of every woman for giving help and grants for the resistance, but any woman that wanted to give any grant or help, there were some places she can give the money and take a receipt.
A woman can give them many things. She can offer moral support and she can provide general help. She can offer up her children and herself. She can give them money or anything else they need. Why can't she help? A woman is as much a part of the resistance as the men are.
They are supporters for the resistance. We don't have a need to have women in the battle field. We don't have a need to have women that are soldiers because, thanks God, the men are enough. But there is no problem. If one time there will be a need for this, they can, they are ready to make whatever is needed for the sake of our country or people.
That was Rima Fakhri, a member of the political council of Hezbollah. To gain more insight into the role of women within the party, we spoke to Amal Saad Ghurayb, the author of Hezbollah, Politics and Religion. And we asked her about the women's role within Hezbollah and how it evolved.
Historically, what has been the role of women within Hezbollah?
Historically, Hezbollah, like many Islamist organizations, is very much a male-dominated party. However, I think we should view the role of women outside of the Western conventional lens. Women in Hezbollah, as in other Islamist organizations, play a very important social role at the grassroots level, much more than a political role, if you like. So while you won't find many women represented in Hezbollah's political ranks, you'll find that they play an extremely important role insofar as they are mothers of fighters, wives of fighters, and so forth. So I think their role would be best characterized as one of political socialization and support in terms of nurturing a resistance culture.
But is that enough of a role? Can you call that a role? Isn't it more of a traditional role of a mother and a wife and a daughter? Mm.
Well, I mean, yes, it is a traditional role in some sense, but you do have, I think what's interesting is that as women, as mothers, as wives, as sisters, it's very difficult to envision the idea of a woman encouraging a member of her family to be martyred, to fight, with the risk of them being martyred. And so that's a very political and militant role, which is not traditional in any sense.
But how do you explain that attitude by the women? How come they are so entrenched in this resistance culture?
I think women, like men, understand and, have political awareness. And women, like men, suffer the same consequences of injustice and oppression. Now, especially these women in the South, who've been exposed for decades to Israeli attacks, are very protective of their families, of their homes, and so forth. So we have to look at it through that lens, that the woman, just perhaps even more than the man, in fact, would be very much in need of finding some source of security for her home, for her family. And they see the resistance as that guarantee, if you like, against Israeli aggression.
What, if any, tension do you see between Hezbollah's leadership and millions of female supporters that they have?
If you talk to any member of Hezbollah as a woman, as a researcher, as a journalist, extremely comfortable talking to women. They look women right in the eye. We see Nasrallah on television being interviewed by women. He talks to them very casually. He jokes with them.
How significant do you believe events of the last week are?
The role played by women now in this current political crisis in Lebanon, I mean, the opposition to the government, which is essentially an anti-American campaign, has really featured women prominently in these protests. And so again here we could say that women are now involved in retrieving their political rights as Lebanese citizens, not as women.
We'll be back after the break for more on the women of Hezbollah.
and 1 second to go.
We met two women, a mother and her daughter. Both have lost their husbands. They live in a densely populated Shiite neighborhood in Beirut. And they told us, what's it like to be a martyr's wife?
I was 13 when I got married. I was 14 when I had my daughter, Amal. My husband was martyred in 1996, on the 22nd of April, during Israel's Operation Grapes of Wrath. We were married 2 years ago. We'd known each other for 10 years before that. There was nothing left of him. He was coordinating rocket attacks at the front when he was martyred. When my husband was killed, the Association of Martyrs, which is a part of the Hezbollah organization, sponsored the whole family. They gave us a monthly salary, they paid for the children's tuition, they took care of our medical bills, and even paid for entertainment and activities. The association took care of us the way a father would look after his children. My husband had a really close relationship with his daughter Emel because she's the eldest. I feel that my daughter will suffer in the same way I did, because life without a husband is very difficult.
It was really hard to lose a father. We're at an age when we needed him. But with my husband, it was worse. This time, I felt like I had lost everything. The last morning I saw him, he woke me up before going to work, and he said he'd like to have a morning coffee with me. We drank the coffee and watched the morning news. They were reporting on the military operation in the south. We weren't just husband and wife, we were best friends. We treat each other like equals, and we had a loving and trusting relationship. We were both very open and frank with each other. I had the freedom to do what I want, and there was a lot of trust between us.
I chose Ali. I'm the one who wanted him to be my son-in-law. I knew he was the son of Hezbollah and may become a martyr, and that my daughter might share my fate. I found out that her husband had died, she did. I was the only one who knew, and I didn't tell her. I was worried she might overreact if she found out.
My friend told me she heard his name announced on TV, and I thought to myself, that's impossible. I am sure there is a mistake, that maybe she heard wrong or got the names mixed up. I couldn't believe it. It was a great shock to hear such news, particularly because I was expecting to hear from him and to meet up with him later. We buried them in our village, Majd al-Zun, near Tir. Every Friday we go to the village and visit the martyr's graveyard. We read from the Quran. Of course it's difficult to see your father's and husband's graves. It is so hard seeing their graves so near each other. It makes me so very sad. I can't believe that they are the ones buried in this earth. It's not them that should be buried. They should be, I don't know, they shouldn't be in the ground.
If there's a decree right on the front lines, I will be the first to join up. I am proud of my daughter because she is now the wife of a martyr. I have three more daughters, and if a fighter asks for their hand in marriage, that's fine with me. If it were my choice, I would only marry them off to Hezbollah resistance fighters.
For my daughter, I hope that when she grows up, she will live a life with no war. People everywhere wish that politics weren't part of their lives. We all want peace so that the situation we are in can end. It is the situation that creates the martyrs, not the martyrs that create the situation. I don't want any more people to die.
That was a rare insight into the lives of two Lebanese widows. Our final story. Zainab Safar reported on the war for Hezbollah's Al Manar TV. For many, she was the face of terror. She remains unrepentant regarding the reporting she did and the stance her channel took. She met us at the place where her house used to be.
This is the premises of what used to be my building, and it is called a Zahra building. And it is a 10-story building. I used to live on the fifth floor, and unfortunately, I lost everything in this building. I lost my childhood, I lost my history, I lost my albums, I lost my books, which are so dear to me.
Welcome to Al Manar News. The Islamic resistance issued the following statement. For hours, the Zionist enemy is prompting for its threats to target the southern suburbs of Beirut and targeting Beirut International Airport, action units for Al Manar TV station.
I'm Zainab Safar. I'm a news anchor at Manar TV channel, and I'm also a university teacher at the Lebanese State University. I like to be with students, with people. I like to teach them, especially teaching them English as a foreign language and as a second language.
Hi, guys.
I've been doing this job like for the last 11 or 12 years.
Language clear and concise.
It's a multicultural faculty in here, and this is what I really enjoy. They communicate their ideas, their beliefs to me. I communicate mine to them. And on the basis of not fighting, not having any quarrels, but to accept the other as is. Nothing more and nothing less.
If you're talking about something which is disastrous, you're not going to get a big smile and you're talking about, well, 50 people were killed. No, of course, say it differently. You have to put some acting and feelings into it.
So I wasn't here in Lebanon during the war. I was in Abu Dhabi. So it was very confronting to see someone you know talking about the events going on in your country.
I was there with two other TV presenters.
Because she was my teacher, so she's a reliable source, and I trusted her a lot.
Zainab Safar had the courage to cover stories across Lebanon. During the war, she reported from dangerous areas, such as the Dahya neighborhood. I think Zainab did a good job as a journalist.
As a Manar TV reporter, you would be an instant target for the Israelis. And they were trying to capture us wherever we were reporting from. On the first day of the attack, and they decided to stop us. So they gave a strike to the transmission channel. And then on the third day, they devastated the whole building. On and on, though it's destroyed, but I don't know why. Maybe they thought that you are working underground. I knew that my house was destroyed, completely destroyed. It didn't stop me. I just, you know, called my parents and I said, guys, we no longer have a house.
Around 15,000 houses were totally devastated, in addition to the 30,000 other houses that were semi-destroyed.
It's really so catastrophic. It's a crime against humanity. Each media outlet has a certain color in it. Well, at Manar TV, we also have a certain color. They affiliate directly to Hezbollah. And it's not something or anything to hide.
Al-Manar was established by a number of journalists working in the field of Islamic media. They wanted an Islamic channel that covers events in a unique way, but at the same time, one that is accessible to people of all religions and walks of life in Lebanon and the Arab world.
If you're a supporter, then you are biased. No, actually, I try as much. I'm a civilian, a person whose land was being occupied. How would I feel about it? I was trying to put myself in the shoes of the people. I like the policy of Manar TV. They wear the hijab, and I don't think it's going to be comfortable at other media outlets.
You know, Lebanese kind of people, we are always in face of aggressions and buildings collapsing on our heads. But the next day we rebuild and reconstruct. To lose a house, to lose a car, to lose your work, to lose dear ones is nothing compared to losing your dignity and living in a condition where you cannot uplift your head and say to your occupiers, leave our land.
Thanks for being with us for this Every Woman special on the women of Hezbollah. Their stories. Goodbye.